Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
Edith Wharton once wrote, "There are two ways of spreading light, to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it." Well, former Marine Mark Bent is trying to spread light both ways. And if his company, Sunlight Solar, is successful, it will illuminate lives in ways never before possible. Sunlight Solar makes the BOGO light. Instead of using expensive, disposable batteries, BOGO light flashlights draw their power from the sun and also fuel Mark Bent's other goal, to shed light in places now dark due to poverty and war. Mark Bent joins me from Houston, Texas. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Bruce.
Well, I've got one of your flashlights in my hand. It's orange, but it's not like any flashlight I've ever seen. Why don't you describe it for me?
Sure. It's a rechargeable battery flashlight. It's a task light. It's got a solar panel on the side. It's got light-emitting diodes in it, six of them, super bright. And it's got three rechargeable AA NiCad batteries. And what it's designed for is to provide light to the developing world.
So why did you call it the BOGO light?
Because the concept is buy one, give one. An American buys a light, and they give one away. When an American can buy my flashlight for $25, and at that price, no more money, I deliver a second light to Africa. I put it in Africa. And I give a nonprofit like United Nations High Commission for Refugees or Samaritan's Purse or Save the Children or Feed the Children, all my partners. I give them a light, and they pass it out as part of their community service and work. But also, being a former Marine, I have a deep affection and love for my brothers in a uniform. And so you also have the ability, if you'd like, is to donate them to the troops, either in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
How did you get this bright idea?
Well, I lived in Africa for about 20 years, first as a Marine, then as a diplomat with U.S. Foreign Service, and the last 5 years as an oil executive. I was running a subsidiary of an oil company in Eritrea, and my employees, who I cared for deeply, knew I was leaving, and I wanted to do something for them that was more than just a temporary fix. And so I went to some of their villages, and they were still using kerosene lanterns. And so when it hit me really hard that lighting was such an integral part of their lives and they couldn't afford it, I really wanted to do something, so I felt compelled to move in this direction.
How many people in the world actually wind up not having electricity?
The World Bank estimates between 1.6 and 2.2 billion people. So we're talking one-third of the world is off the grid. And if you're off the grid, you have to rely on three things: kerosene, candles, and conventional flashlights. Now, kerosene's bad for the environment. It's bad for the people breathing in the fumes. 1.6 million people, mostly women and children, die of cancer each year because of the fumes from kerosene. One kerosene lantern puts out 100 kilos of carbon gases a year. And so you talk about the number of people that use kerosene lanterns, and so that's really bad. And the other issue is, even here in the United States, most people don't recycle their batteries. EPA states that less than 1% of our landfill waste is batteries, but it's our number one contaminant for groundwater contamination with mercury and cadmium and all the other heavy metals that go into the groundwater. But with my flashlights, they use three nickel-cadmium batteries. Right now, the batteries will last 750 to 1,000 nights. And so a child or an adult can actually use the lights for 6 to 7 hours each night for 2 years plus before the batteries need to be replaced. And so we'll ship in more batteries, and we'll do a replacement program to get the batteries out of Africa.
There are a number of companies that actually make solar flashlights. What makes your idea so special is the marketing.
Yeah, what I wanted to do was to get lights to people that really needed them, that couldn't afford them. The World Bank estimates that the average African spends up to one-third of their income on kerosene. But look at the economic benefit to an African. If you're taking away 30% of their expenditures, you're giving them 30% raise, basically, because no longer do they have to pay for the kerosene, you're allowing them to have a massive economic upgrade in their lives. Africans aren't stupid. They just don't have capital. They don't have the ability to put things on a credit card, for example, like we do. And so if you give them a 30% increase in their disposable income, they'll spend it on an extra chicken, or they'll spend it on extra land to grow tomatoes or maize. And they will be able to leap out of that bottom level of poverty because they get a little bit of a head start. All this does is give them that head start, which I think is fantastic.
What is the saying? It's better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness?
That's a good phrase. You know, the problem right now is the children, most of the children in Africa have to work just to survive. They work in the fields, or they work in cottage industries, or they take care of livestock. So they come home at the end of the day, and they want to read, and they can't because their parents can't afford the kerosene. I was talking last week with the ambassador to Botswana, a brilliant man, very, very nice man, and with tears in his eyes, he told me that his grandmother had enough money to pay for kerosene. His parents didn't, so he got out of the village because he could read. And here's a man at the top of his field, the ambassador to the United States, and he sat in his office with me, and it was very touching to hear how lighting had made a difference in his life. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do was to give the Africans something that empowers them. And it's an amazing thing. It helps out with education. It helps out with the environment. Security in refugee camps. One of the big problems in refugee camps with the UN is violence, sexual violence at night. So we designed this with a finger grip on one side so a woman at night can reach out and touch it and know exactly where the light switch is. It has a glow-in-the-dark ring on it. That actually, my 15-year-old daughter came up with the idea of doing that. So it really impacts people's lives in an amazing way.
It's amazing that one light can make such a difference. That's what's so stunning about this to me.
It's a great feeling when I get discouraged or I get depressed, and I think that there's some place in the world that's dark right now, and there's a little kid that's reading because of my light. We got a note the other day from one of the Sudanese that's in a refugee camp in Ethiopia, and the refugee said that he never had such privilege in his life. And it just broke my heart that here we gave him a light, you know, a light that to us is basically a toy, but to him it was the greatest privilege he had. He had no other privilege like that in his life. And that amazes me that something as simple as some plastic and LEDs and a solar panel changes somebody's life that way.
Well, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Mark Bent is founder of Sun Night Solar, makers of the BOGO Light. Next week on Living on Earth, you can't see it, but it makes up most of the stuff in the universe.
It means if you had a blob of dark matter in your lap, you'd see right through it. It would fall through your lap. There'd be no way to contain it because containing something implies it's interacting with the container.
The mysterious nature of dark matter, next time on Living on Earth.